Pass the salt. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It is time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, good Monday morning. The world didn't blow up yesterday. You know, I told you I left you on Friday saying better beware because 911 is just around the corner. And something crazy seems to happen all the time on 911. Well, praise the Lord, nothing happened crazy on 911. Yes, it did. Oh, you're going to – I'm trying to figure out how to bring you – how I bring you some truth today without you thinking I'm crazy. But I am crazy. Or I'm nuts. I like to tell people. Or they say to me, Coach, you're nuts. Say, yeah, you're right, but I'm screwed on the right bolt. I'm going to show you some nuts today. Glad that you're part of us. I look on the queue here. We've got room for a couple of you to jump in here with us if you want to. Find more and more of you listening on the phone, which is okay. Let me give out that number, 605-475-0017, 605-475-0017. And, boy, oh, boy, it is getting crazier and crazier and crazier. And I was telling somebody, especially after first week of football, NFL yesterday, got kind of mad watching the Cleveland Browns because they got this guy named RG3 who used to be a really good runner. And they don't run him. In fact, they keep him in the pocket. I'm thinking, why do you have this guy in the pocket? You don't let him get outside and break contain, run a few bootlegs, do a few things different, confuses them. Sorry, still chewing on a piece of candy. Thanks, Wayne. We're getting bootlegged. Talking about us. We're getting the old bait and switch done on us, and unfortunately, for whatever reason, we're not smart enough to figure out the game that's being played in front of us. We live in a time of universal deceit. Universal deceit. And they've done a great job, folks, of not only hiding the truth from us, but they've done a great job of, excuse me, turn my glass on. I got so much stuff up on here. I got to maybe pull some of this out so it makes sense. They've done a great job of confusing us, keeping us confused. And I want to, I found out something this morning that just kind of blew me away as I was doing some show prep. Couldn't believe it. Couldn't believe it. In fact, when my wife came walking down the steps, I said, honey, come on, come in here a minute, honey. Come in here a minute. Come in here a minute. You look over my shoulder and you tell me if I'm crazy or not. Well, she knows I'm crazy. But she did look over my shoulder, and she started scratching her head and said, what's going on? I started scratching my head and said, what's going on? What's going on? Now, here. After I discovered this thing, I'm going to show you here in a second. I went on Facebook, just because you can find just about everything on Facebook. You can find truth and lies. You can find everything on Facebook. And I didn't find anything about it on Facebook. Here's what, let me tie a knot here for you real quickly. Hillary's toast. I told you that last week, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. She's not going to make it to the election. By the way, just be careful today for some type of false flag today or tomorrow. You can knock something off of the news. Hillary's all the news and her sickness is all the news. You better understand, as I tried to explain to you the other day, it's the man behind the curtain that's running America. Hillary's just a puppet. Hillary is just a puppet. And they want Hillary in there because they can control that puppet. They already know the Clintons are part of this whole cabal and everything that's going on, this attack on Western civilization. It's trying to replay things as they come into my mind. Remember, I'm telling you, if America goes down, liberty around the world's in serious, serious danger. It's in serious danger in America anyway. Liberty is. Liberty is. I see Dale Slosh is on us with us today down there in Louisiana. And Dale, I ran a little story on Friday that they stopped some of the construction down there because guys didn't have permits. They didn't have permits to rebuild their houses. So the government gets involved, even tries to keep people from helping other people. Wants everything to be dependent on the government. I'm going somewhere. You stay with me. If you have eyes to see and ears to hear, if you're not afraid of the truth, you hang right in there with me. Something really, really bizarre is going on, friends. Something really bizarre. And I'm going to lay this premise out here before I show you what just kind of rocked me this morning. Hillary isn't going to make it. And they know she's not going to make it. The polls have all been faked. Trump is so outdrawn Hillary, crowds, energy. Hillary's not going to make it. And they've done everything that they can do to try to make her palatable, and people don't like her. And all these things that have been going on, they keep covering them up, covering them up, covering them up. And now all of a sudden, they have her have a spell right in front of the world. Right in front of the world. And now all of a sudden people say, well, gee, maybe Hillary is sick. Maybe Hillary. See, listen, it's not about her sickness. Please understand this. I don't want Hillary to be president, not because she's sick. And so they want it to be about her being sick. Hillary's going to have to step out because she's sick. They don't want her to have to get in the debates and go deeper and deeper and deeper into those emails and the Clinton cabal and the Clinton Foundation, and as Russ calls it, the Clinton crime family. They don't want to go into that because those tentacles go everywhere throughout the government. All those people were screaming and hollering, never Trump, never Trump. Not all of them. They're saying never Trump because they're all connected into the Hillary thing. And the last thing they want is for that to be exposed. That's all they want. Now, folks, come on now. Come on now. Stay with me. They need a reason now to push Hillary out. We just got it yesterday. We just got it. Now, before I show you this, are you all sitting down? Sitting down there, Sarge? Everybody sitting down? Wayne, you sitting down? Everybody? Got a couple spots open here in the queue if you want to see this. Want to see history made right here in front of you. Jump in here. Just go to that CoachDaveLive.com link and hit join the huddle. I mean, you can listen to it on the phone, but you ain't going to believe it. I'm going to show you. I'm telling you, the worm turned yesterday. Hillary is done. And the reason Hillary is done is because the powers that be want Hillary done. Who's next man up? Anybody have a suggestion? Anybody have an idea? Who's the next man up in the Democratic Party? Because clearly yesterday they wanted Hillary exposed as sick. Clearly they did. I'm going to prove it to you in a second. Who's next man up? Joe Biden? I'm not sure he's their guy. Who are they going to try to slip in there? Somebody who's going to be palatable. Somebody's going to be exciting. Somebody's going to capture the attention.
Lost your audio, Coach. Did you unplug something? Anybody got anything? Kevin, why do you think Joe Biden?
Still no audio from Coach.
Somebody must have got Maddie starting to expose him.
Hey, you know, I tell you, for this technology, you just never know. those Lucifer and gremlins are everywhere.
Yeah.
Anybody hearing, Coach?
I'm pretty sure Murphy designed all this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because Murphy's Law sure does apply a lot.
I'm back, boys. Okay. I had to jump on my phone.
We got you twice.
I got to get rid of this guy here. All right. You got me now?
Yep.
Okay. I don't have, what's the best angle to turn this phone so that you guys can hear me? Cause I got to show you some stuff. That's amazing. Hey, Mike, maybe we need to get that new computer, huh? I want this thing to be up about here, but I'm going to break my arm if I get it clear up there. So I'm going to try to set it right there and do the best I can. Is that good enough, guys?
Perfect.
You got me, Sarge? Okay, now get ready. They're pulling a fast one on us again. Bait and switch. Fullback run, fake it to the fullback, run the bootleg. Make it look like a sweep to the left, hand it off to the reverse. Listen, the gig is up on Hillary. And who are they going to plug in there? Okay, you ready? Jared, go to our links here, brother. I'm going to show you something, guys. I don't know if I'm the only one to see it. I've been searching the internet all morning to see if anybody else got it but me, and I haven't seen anybody yet that's got it. It's all faked. Where are you, Coach? Let's go. Here's where I want to be. Okay, Jared. Not that one, Jared. Nope. Wait till I load up here, buddy. Okay. Because I sent Jared a bunch of stuff. Says me. Okay. Here we go. These are both very, very short videos. Are you watching, Sarge? Are you watching? You watching, everybody? Are you watching? You watching, Dale?
Which one?
Uh-oh. Here we go. Jared, click on the very first one. Now, Jared, I'm going to have you play this a couple different times. Click on the very first link. It says twitter.com.
Yep.
What? Got it? Okay, now, guys, listen. This is about 15 seconds. We've all seen this, I don't know, hundreds of times. We've all seen it. It's been all over the media. And I'm going to show you something that you never saw before. Now, I'm going to play this through. I'm not going to say anything. And then we'll play it again. Go ahead and play that for us, Jared. If I click on it, you see it. Okay, and what's the focus? Hillary's fallen. Hillary's fallen. My goodness, watch her. Look at her. Hillary's fallen. Okay, Jared. Jared, go to that very next one. The very next one. Hey, guys, another video. It's on there everywhere. This video and 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 this video. Hillary falling. Look, Hillary falling. Oh, my goodness. What's falling out of her pant leg? Oh, she goes face first. Uh-oh. Okay, here's another view from another camera. Watch her. Oh, she's stumbling. Down she goes. Oh, my goodness. Uh-oh. Everybody see that? Hillary's sick, everybody. Hillary's sick. Really? Okay, Jared, can we back that one up? Can you just take that video back for me here, Jared? And maybe somebody out there can tell me whether I'm nuts or not. Jared, get that video back up there for us from freezing.
What's up?
Stay right there. Somebody's fooling us. Get that picture up there for me, Jared. I got to get back because I'm in front. I can't even see myself anymore. Can everybody see that? Does everybody have that on their screen? Oops, I'm touching the wrong thing.
It's on YouTube. Yep.
There. Okay. Now, hang on. Look, I'm going to point out three things. And you tell me if I'm nuts. Question number one, is Hillary getting in the passenger side or the driver's side? Question number one. Question number two, as we get ready to watch this video again. Black guy, big black guy on Hillary's right side or Hillary's left side? Question number three, white guy, Hillary's right side or Hillary's left side? Question number four, cop that comes in on the end, on Hillary's right side or Hillary's left side? Okay, Jared, let's play this and then let's freeze it as it plays if we can, when I tell you to. Okay, here we go. Start playing that, Jared. Freeze it. Which side of the van? Pass, driver's side. Driver's side. Keep going, Jared. Black man! Black man! Come back! Which side's he on? Stop it, Jared. Which side's he on?
Right. Right side.
Right side. White guy. Left side. Keep running it, Jared. There he comes. There comes the cop. Keep going, Jared. There's his head. Right side. Okay, so let's stop here a minute. Here we go. Van. Which side of the van? Driver's side. Black guy on the right or the left? Black guy on right. White guy on left. Cool. Wow, Hillary's really, really sick. Watch Hillary. She's falling. Look at, they grab her. Oh, my gosh. She goes face first. Okay, Jerry, let's get that other video up. Let's get that first one back up.
Okay.
Time out! Which side of the van? Passenger side of the van.
Hey, Coach, it's a, like a negative on a photograph. That videos can be shown reverse, in reverse direction or whatever you're talking. If you look at the printing on the side of the wall, the view you're looking at right now, those words are in the correct order. Those letters look like letters of the alphabet. On the other one, they're backwards. So it's just a reverse direction of the video.
How does that happen, Larry?
It's some kind of technical thing. It happens on mine when I record videos sometimes. My video will show up backwards. And I have to do it again. Look at the Chevrolet sign on the vehicle behind the one in the scene you see now. That Chevrolet sign, the angles are correct. That is the actual view that it happened. She's getting in on the passenger side. The other one, all those things that you'll see, it's just a reversal of the digit of the data on the video. It's the same shot, just it's been reversed like a negative photograph used to be.
Okay, show it to us, Jared. Your side. Black man on left. Black man on right. This one coming in from the left. Okay.
Gotta go, guys. Later.
Are we satisfied with Larry's explanation?
I think so. This guard looks the same. The white guy in the front looks identical.
Is he on both videos?
Mm-hmm.
Does anybody find this weird besides me?
Right here.
So, Larry, you think that what I discovered, I didn't really discover. Larry may have had to leave. I don't know. See, listen, fellas, in my mind, anything's possible. Now, listen, here's another question. Let's eliminate all that stuff. Hey, guys, if Hillary Clinton was about to collapse, would they have her do it right out on the street in front of everybody? If they didn't want us to see her collapsing out on the street in front of everybody. Somebody help me out here. I'm ready to move on if you guys are satisfied.
I mean, I don't know, Coach. I don't know if I'm satisfied until I see a little higher quality video.
Well, we'll send you the link and you check it out.
I mean, I know what Larry is talking about and I know what he's saying, but without a little bit more definitive proof, I don't know.
What do you think, Sarge?
I think they're hiding and they may have used the event to build a case for the pneumonia announcement, but I think they're hiding the fact that she's got something more serious.
I think they're about to unhide it because I think they know, because of other reasons, they know she can't win. They now know she can't win. So they're going to try. I thought I'd found an earth shaking discovery there. I'm still not convinced. Let me get that green thing out of the back there. I'm still not convinced. But if you folks are convinced, it's all cool with me.
Well, the
right, bigger, anybody to add on that? What do you think? What do you think, Dale? Can't hear you, man. Got to unmute yourself, Dale.
The bigger question is, who's the replacement, which you teed up a few minutes ago?
Yeah, who's the replacement? Who's the replacement? Because I think, my opinion, take all this conspiracy theory stuff out of it if you want to. Something's wrong here. See, I don't want to disagree with Larry. I don't even think the background's the same. We're seeing windows here. We don't see windows in the other one. Here, put that other one back up there. See windows in this one? Windows above the van? Is there windows above the van in the other one, Jared? Yeah, I guess they are. All right. Well, heck, here I thought I was going to get a job at the Pentagon.
Well, it may have been doctored somehow. I don't know.
Something. Anyway, the argument I'm making to you is they purposefully had her be sick in public. Sarge, you got those military connections. If this woman is unstable, are they going to walk her down the street in front of everybody and pull a van up and permit this to happen?
I think they'll do it if they've got it was a purposeful or by design event. It's a by design event. The question is, what are they? I mean, if they're going to make the case that she really is sick and have the public proof that shows how she's been having the coughing attacks, now she's faltering, yada, 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 then they're building up the mind control to prepare you for an announcement if that's what they're looking to do.
Yeah. Okay, can I take a conspiracy one more step? I'm sorry, just bear with me here, will you? Please bear with me. Jared, bring up the one that shows the two Hillaries.
All right, this one.
I love conspiracy theories, by the way. This is the Marshall Report. I don't know if you guys ever see this or not. And Jared's going to scroll this down for you, and we got to ask ourselves, how did Hillary lose about 30 pounds here in 30 minutes? Go back up, Jared. There she is before the event with her doctor walking along beside of her, going down, Jared. And now there she is, a lot lighter. Keep on going down. Look at that face. After she's been sick. Come on down. And look at that face there. Are those the same? And then I don't even want to talk about those blue sunglasses. Oh, man, I don't. See, it's unbelievable. See, we've reached the point in America where you can't believe anything anymore. You can't believe anything. We can't even believe our own eyes. The enemy is the author of confusion and deception. That's the point I'm trying to make here today. She lost a bunch of weight somewhere along the line. Lost a bunch of weight. Who are they going to put in there? Who are they going to stick in for? That's my prediction. I said 6 weeks ago that she wasn't going to make it to the finish line. And I'm more convinced than ever she's not going to make it to the finish line. I'm in Isaiah today. You guys want to jump in Isaiah with me? Attaboy. I believe something great's going on. I think I told you that before. I think something great's going on. What's the word I'm looking for? There's something crazy, something good, crazy going on. Something good, crazy going on. Now we know this, don't you, fellas? We are probably sitting, everything that I see, we're sitting at the precipice of a monetary collapse. Whatever that means, whatever that's going to look like, our economy is really, really in some serious trouble. And I've said for a long time that might be the best thing to ever happen to all of us is that we go through a little bit of tough times. Might be the Lord's way of disciplining us, drawing us back to Him. And I just wanted to read Isaiah 59 today because I want to, crazy as it sounds, I want to have a little bit of encouragement. I'm working off my phone here, so my screen's a little bit a little bit harder to see than normal. So I'm going to read out of the King James. Isaiah 59, verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. I believe that's where we are. I believe the church in particular, the Lord's hiding his face from the church. For your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity, and your lips have spoken lies, your tongue have muttered perverseness. None call for justice. Say that again. None call for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. Is that America today, Stephen? They trust in vanity, speak lies, they conceive mischief, and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice eggs and weave the spider's web. What a tangled web we weave when we practice to deceive, the poet said. He that eateth the eggs dieth. We might eat their lies, we die. And that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. The web shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of sin, of iniquity. And the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil. Picture God's people. And they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not. And there is no judgment in their goings. They've made crooked paths. And whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. That's why, number 9, judgment is far from us. Neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity, for brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind. We grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places, are like dead men. For we all roar like bears, mourn like sore doves. We look for judgment, but there is none. It's third time now the Lord has mentioned the fact that there is no judgment. Can someone tell me how what's going on in the American government? There is no judgment. There is no justice. Clearly spelled out here. We're all like bears, mourn like sore doves. We look for judgment, but there is none. Fourth time. For salvation, but it's far off from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before us. Our sins testify against us. For our transgressions. Blah, 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 blah. On. I want you to see verse number 14. In judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yeah, truth fails. Think about that. And he that departs from evil makes himself a prey. The Lord saw it, and it displeased him. That there was no judgment. There was no judgment. That's where we are, boys. Where we are. And so we have an opportunity now. I believe the Lord is getting ready to do something in our midst beyond what we can even understand. And I don't think it's going to be good. And I'm reminded about Pastor Dale and those guys down in Louisiana and everything that's going on down there. Big Rich is down there. Big Rich, give us an update real quick. Dale was on. I was going to come to him next. I want to talk about this judgment thing. The flood and all that stuff that's going on and giving us the leaders that we have. And Rich, you're down there. You've made your second trip down there now. Is there a difference, Big Rich? Give us an update here. He's in Louisiana.
You're muted.
You're muted, Rich. Well, he's trying to figure out maybe how to mute him, unmute himself. He's probably at Dale's place there.
There we go.
Try it, Rich.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Well, I've only been here. I got in late afternoon. It seems like the people weren't near as friendly to me, but I'm not sure. But Dale's going strong. His team's going strong. We're really going to hit the houses this week and try and do some work. I'm looking forward to all you guys coming. I just joined in the call, so I'm not sure where you're headed.
No, we're just asking you if things have changed down there. If you've noticed a difference. It was 10 days ago you were down there. Have you noticed a difference at all?
You know, the short time I've been here, no, I haven't.
Okay.
I haven't seen a whole bunch.
Cool.
I overslept. I just woke up.
You had a long trip down there for sure. Well, welcome to the show there, brother. And we're digging in here. We're trying to figure out what the Lord's doing, because I sense something. Rich, since you just joined in, Hillary's done, and I think that yesterday they exposed her as being done. And I'm trying to figure out who's going to come in next and what they're going to do to knock this story in such a way that the men behind the curtain are going to be in control. That's really what we're looking at. So I mentioned the other day, Jared, let's bring up their prep down at the bottom. Does anybody know what our national debt is? Anybody on the queue?
19 trillion?
Trillion.
19 trillion.
I mean, an unfunded mandate, it's
over 200.
It's a quarter of it. Yeah. It's a quarter of a trillion. Quarter of it, not trillion. That's not even right.
Quadrillion.
Quadrillion. Quadrillion. It's a quarter. An unfunded mandates, Social Security, Medicaid, all of that stuff. We are so far in debt that it can never possibly be repaid. And I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm trying to warn somebody. If you're a guy living on a pension now, we already saw in Michigan, I believe it was, that the auto workers, or was it the truck drivers, maybe the UAW, maybe, they already took a 70% hit on their retirement. We cannot meet what they call these unfunded mandates. See, Social Security was supposed to be a pyramid scheme. Everybody paid at the bottom and went up to the top, and there were a lot of payers in and not very many people at the top, and it was designed to work that way. But of course they put the Social Security not in a lockbox and not in a Social Security fund, but they put it in the general fund, and they spent it and borrowed against it. And now the nation of China holds the most of our debt. We are in debt to China. That ain't a good thing. So there's going to be some type of currency reset's going to come out. Stephen, did you want to say something?
Well, I was sitting there wondering if you've ever heard about, like, Dave Hodges spoke about something about we have natural resources that could also that we have underneath the United States that nobody even knows anything about, and being able to pay off a lot of this debt and then some. But it's like the biggest robbery.
But see, what? Why? Again, this is conspiracy theory stuff. We have pretty good evidence that with the Bundy Ranch, I wish Larry was still on with us. When that whole Bundy Ranch first broke out, it was because Hillary, our mineral rights under Nevada to the Russians, to the Chinese. That stuff has been sold. And so we don't have the ability. See, used to be on the gold base system. We don't have gold anymore. There's nothing backing our debt anymore. So let's just stop for a minute and say this. If a flood were to hit where you live, say, well, that would never happen. Okay, well, let's say one did. You lost all your power and everything. Ugh. What would you do? Are you prepared? Are you prepared to help? What if there was no, what if, like here in Ohio, what if we had a snowstorm, blizzard, no power for 5-6 days. We've all lived that. Are you ready? Are you prepared? So I came across this here. Jared, again, I see it really small on my screen. I'm going to have to look over here because I'm working off of my phone today. Just some basic questions, Jared. Scroll down there a little bit. It just says, you know, the DHS and Obama have both told us to prep. And so down here, it says, what should warnings? And it gives us some simple things to ask yourself as far as prep. Do you see where we are, Jared? Yeah, I think you got it there. No, a little bit farther down, I think. It said, should we take, so what should we take from these warnings? There you go. I don't know if you guys can see it or not. Small on my screen. Number one, question to ask yourself right now. Things were to go bad. Let's say it's not a financial collapse. Let's say whatever it is. Number one, do you have enough food and water to care for your family for a month with no trips to the store? Simple question. Do you have that? Do you have access to water? You say, yeah, we got access. We got that old pond behind our house. Okay. So does everybody else know that pond is there? Yeah. Will they be going there trying to get water out of that pond as well? Do you have a supply of water? Number two, do you have a backup sanitation plan in the event that you don't have running water in your home for an extended period of time? Number three, do you have a route in your area where you to face a mandatory evacuation? Do you have a backup route? Do you have a route that could take you if all the main thoroughfares were locked down, gridlocked? Let's say not martial law, but just gridlocked. Roger, do you have a way to get to Dylan's house? Is there a way to get there, alternative way, if you considered that, rather than always taking I-70 or what? How am I going to get to Dylan's house? Another question. I don't even know if it's on there with my family.
He better come to my house.
Well, that's right. If things tank, where do we meet?
I got more stuff.
Where do we meet? Do you and your family know that? Is that plan already made? What if you don't have any cell phone contact? What if you don't have the internet? Everything's down. Makes sense to me. The place that you would want to get to is where your safest place to be with where your dad is. But if your dad's house isn't in a safe area, so have a plan then. Number four. Boy, this one really shook me. Do you have a plan for grabbing what you need if you have to leave home in 15 minutes? Number five, do you have an emergency water filtration system or a secondary source of water? Number six, are you prepared for a power outage that lasts up to a month? Could you cook? Could you stay warm? Think about your house. Is there a place in your house that you could cook food if you had to? Do you have firewood? Do you have the ability to keep your family warm? Let's say it's just a natural disaster. Number seven, I just said that. Do you have a plan for meeting up with your family if you get separated? What if there's no cell phones? What if you're far away from home, you need to get home? I'll be honest with you, every time I get in a plane and I fly someplace, I often wonder, man, what if something happens here? How am I going to get back home? That's why I'd rather drive than fly. Because I think if I have a car, I can at least maybe navigate my way back. Number eight. Are you in good enough shape to leave home on your foot, on foot, carrying what you need to survive? Are you in good enough shape? If not, maybe you better get there. Number nine. Do you have family members with special needs or health concerns? If so, have you prepped to take care of those needs? You don't have any power and you can't get to the store or to the pharmacy? Another good reason, get off all kinds of drugs if you can. Try to get on, try to get yourself healthy. And number 10, in a situation of civil unrest due to lack of supplies, could you keep your home and your family safe? Could you take care of the medical emergencies on your own if no one was answering the phone when you dialed 911. Now, that's pretty stark and pretty harsh, but that's just the beginning of getting prepared. And this guy says, if you can't yet answer yes to every single question, you are not really prepared. Now, again, down here, slide on down a little bit farther, Jared. Don't feel hopeless. Here are the things. Let's say, you know, we're not, if it's the end of the world, it's the end of the world, right? But you have to worry about hurricanes, blizzards, tornadoes, the likelihood of civil unrest in our volatile society, possibility of tainted municipal water supply, personal economic crisis like an unexpected expense or job loss, national economic collapse, a horrifying crime like the ones in Europe due to clashes between Europeans and migrants. Cool. Anybody have any suggestions or anything to add in regards to prepping? Anything I left out? Sarge, you're clear up there in the great Northeast. What do you say, man?
That's why I moved up here. I got 9 acres. You're all welcome. I got 2 wells. I got a 25,000 pool full of water, lots of wood, lots of deer running around because I got lots of apple trees. So,
what would you say, Sarge? What would you say to a person who is living in the inner city?
They're screwed.
Other than move.
Yeah.
Other than move. What would you say, Sarge?
If you,
what would they, what should they be looking for?
If they don't have a community that they can fall in on, and what I mean by a community, I'm talking about a small community of maybe 2 or 3 dozen families who have a bug out spot within a half a day of where they live in the inner city, they're going to be in trouble because the food will run out in less than 72 hours. And at that point in time, when people are hungry, things will get very bad, very fast. Chad will tell you that too.
I went to my local Kroger store. I don't know what store, where you guys are, what stores you have. I went to, Michelle and I went to Kroger's yesterday after church, and everybody was there. Everybody was there. Sunday afternoon, everybody was at Kroger's. And those who are in the know tell us this, that if you were to go into Kroger's, there's one day supply of food in Kroger's. If everybody in your local town needed food, a blizzard hits, and everybody ran to your Kroger's store, it would be empty in a day. Now, the way that the system works, there's the store on the food on the shelves. There's the food in the trucks on the way to the store. And there's the food in the production process, not even on the trucks yet. So if you break down the ability to transport the food, your Kroger store will be empty in a day. Do you have any food? Do you have the ability to survive 4 days, 5 days without any food? Is there enough food in your house? Mike Heath, does this sound far-fetched, Mike?
No.
Sir, good answer. So what do we do, fellas? What do we do? I was thinking we had a I've got this pretty much set up for our family, my immediate family. But where are we in a situation like this, in a breakdown of the food chain, a breakdown in supplies, whatever that calamity might be? Hey, Roger, do you have 4 families that you're going to be able to partner with to stay, keep your head above water?
I think the difficult thing is getting people to understand this is a possibility.
Why do you think that is?
Well, we've all, I don't know, maybe just got, you know, the idea that it's never happened. It can't happen. You know, the government will take care of us. I think there's a host of things. Everybody's too busy going to work to really think that calamity could hit, not in America. I just couldn't do that here. It can happen in Cambodia, maybe, but not in America.
And we don't understand. One of the things that we've lost sight of here in the good old U.S. of A is the interconnectedness of the world. Part of the plan, the global economy, yada, 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 everything went global, global, global. And so as a result of that, we are no longer reliant on local people, local supplies, local growing of food. Everything goes down globally. It will impact where we are.
They know what awaited them.
Hey, Dale, now that you're back in here, Dale, we're talking a little bit about prepping right now. What could the people down in Louisiana have done differently, you think? As you look back over it, Dale, it's been over a month, a little bit over 5 weeks maybe. What could people have done differently?
Actually, the fact of the matter is I have explained this before. There's nothing they could have done when this happened because I believing they were going to wake up the next morning. The calamity that you're talking about hit these people with their feet in water only to run out of their house with nothing but what's on, the clothes they had, maybe having to carry their children, and they weren't sure if the water was going to rise over their head. So, that was it. They got hit with one of them scenarios that the what if this happened, and you'd had no opportunity to make a day out or a 2 day out plan.
Or Dale, even in that situation, really, had they stored up food, they probably would have lost it all, wouldn't they?
Well, it would have been gone. And, Richard and I were talking about this last night. The preparations and preparing, a lot of it is coming back to common sense. And that is reverting to, living off the land. It's an amazing thing that we've developed creature comforts as AC and vehicles and we act like we can't survive if these things aren't in place. But the fact of the matter is that we survived as a people for hundreds of years prior to having
any
creature comforts. You know, I tell people all the time, I said, I live a block and a half from a Lake Pontchartrain, which is full of fish. I said, if I can fish, I can feed my family. You know, that's just the beginning. You know, there's other things that I do have major things, which are fruit orchards and deer stands, how to build a fire. And if I can, the only thing I live without is the creature comforts of TV and internet and phone service. And I'm okay with that. You know, you're touching on something that congregation, I was explaining on September about Katrina, about Super Sandy. I said, these calamities hit. It seems that people's hearts go back to the nature of what God has instilled in mankind, passion and love for our neighbor. You know, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is to love thy neighbor as thyself. But what happened, and like Richard was explaining, I didn't see people as friendly yesterday. A little bit of time goes by, and as a door swings on a hinge, so a man swings in his bed, is that, you know, these small little pockets we see where the even September 11th, you had Congress praying, you had people filling the churches, but a month later, they just went away. And I said, you know, if the greatest harvest and revival might come, you know, triumph seems to come after tragedy. And when you read Joel chapter 2, we, you know, talking about the last days and the pouring out of the Spirit, you got to go back to the beginning of Joel chapter 2. You'll see that there's a judgment. There's a shaking that's going to happen first. And that's not a good shaking. That's a God will send a worldwide calamity to where he'll shake everything in the earth. That the only thing remains.
Roger, I hate to focus on you all the time, Roger, but I know you go to a church with a lot of people, by a lot of people, let's say over 1,000 people in attendance. Is this talked about at all in your church, Roger? Any type of mention of just even a storage of food or of water or of any type of, ever discussed at all, Roger?
I think very loosely in the 15 years I've been at Jersey, there's been brief comments about preparation, nothing significant, and certainly not much in the area of how to do it and why to do it. And I think whether you're a pagan or a believer, okay, whether you're a pagan or you are a believer, the concept of a little preparedness is biblical and just common sense. I've always felt a desire to have a little bit around the house more than normal, just in case, you know, things start cracking. But no, it's not, Dave, in the church, it just, you have a lot of the people that we win in the end people, but I just, they're just in la-la land. I'm sorry. None of this stuff is touched on, even remotely on a regular basis. And the church is ill-prepared to assist because we all live a half hour from our church.
Okay, Rod, so let me touch you with this and hit a little closer to home. If something, if everything goes down, whatever it would be, I mean, we don't have to talk about government doing stuff to us or what. Let's just say something happens to the power grid, whatever it would be, something that we can't even begin to understand happens to us, and it's statewide. Let's just stay here in the state of Ohio. Where's Dusty, Raj?
Well, he's in Cincinnati, and we've got to talk to him. Now, he's got the spirit.
Yeah, what do you mean by that, Raj? What do you mean by that? See, folks, here's the point I'm trying to make here with Roger. When I had a daughter at Marietta years ago, I had a daughter at Hillsdale College years ago. I had a son that was in wherever the heck he was in at that time. And we had a place that said, listen, if something happens, here's where Dad's going to be. You get there and I'll get to you. Do you guys have a plan like that with your children? Now, you may not be able to get there, but you say, listen, I don't know how, but if you are at point A, you get there, you wait, get to you. I think that's important. Tell you a real quick story of a friend of mine. I won't share his name because I just didn't ask him his permission. He has a big family. He had 10 kids, Dale. You would know the guy. And he said that sometimes when they would go out with their family, they would lose track of kids just because you know how that can happen, right? They're just there everywhere. Kids are everywhere. And you go into a store and one wanders one way. And they always tried to count, but they always told their children, said, listen, if you get separated from us, you go hide. You hide. And we will come back. And he said, lo and behold, they had the 10 kids. Lo and behold, they were out on a family trip. They stopped at a McDonald's. They all get something to eat. They get in their car. They get 20 minutes down the road, and one of the kids is missing. He told his children, don't call the police. You hide. I will remember where we left where last were. We will be back. You hide. So he's 20 minutes down the road. He's panicked now. The kid's gone. Oh, my goodness. They turn their car around real quick. They drive back there and pull into the McDonald's, and the son comes running out from behind the bushes. He had been hiding in the bushes, and he came and hopped in the car. Roger, is Dusty hiding in the bushes anywhere? Is there some place that he's going to get that he knows that Dad's going to come and get to him? Again, folks, I just think this is common sense. Probably you're muted, Roger. You're muted. Probably.
Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
Yes.
That boy's been listening to the huddle too long, and he always tells me, Dad, I'm just going to grab my guns and be ready.
Well, that's good. But if you got to get to him, man, you want to know where to get him. You want all of your family running in six different directions. Jared, you're going to say something.
Well, yeah, just not on the side of prepping, but what kind of world do we live in when your kid can't walk up to the attendant at McDonald's because if he says anything that his parents left him, their kids are going to get taken away from the parents.
That's why.
What kind of freaking world is this? You know,
never go to the cops. They say never go to the cops because that's exactly what would happen. You take your kids there and to the cops, and the cops are going to be questioning you, and Children's Protective Services are going to get involved. It is, Jared, though. It is evidence of the world that we're living in, though. It is. So these are things we got to think about. We got to walk through. Sarge, anything that you can. I know this seems kind of bizarre, but we got to begin to think about this. Guys, listen to me. We are living in a time, I'm telling you, our government is capable of doing anything to not lose power. They're capable of anything. I believe that we are in the most dangerous times of my life in the next 2 months. Kevin, would you agree or disagree with that?
I don't know if the time frame is that short, 2 months, but you're definitely right. We're in some strange times to come ahead. And some of you have not listened to Steve Quayle and Tim Almerito. They were on last week on Hagmann. You probably ought to listen to it. The work they're doing right now where they're sort of rediscovering and re-entering into the discussion about the underground areas all across the world that are associated with megalithic structures and the fact that the Roman Catholic Church has temples and churches built on a lot of these areas around the world. There is something definitely nefarious going on with the underground. Now, whether or not, you know, there's still things that live down there that go bump in the night, I don't know yet, but I am keeping, I got my antenna up because I think that what's going on where God is allowing this stuff to start to come into our consciousness, that there's something that we don't realize that's been around, that's been uncovered for, or it's been covered up for a long time, is an issue. And I think we need to stay on top of that. That could be that there's some folks down there that, whether they're Nephilim or whatever they are, I think they are controlling most of the governments in the world, and we know who their leader is.
So, folks, listen. So here's the point that I'm trying to get across here this morning. An atomic bomb comes and blows us all out of the world, it ain't no big deal. It's over with. It's over with. But what if an atomic blast comes and it's not over with for you and your family? What if the atomic bomb, heavens forbid, what if it goes off in Cincinnati, Ohio, which is 140 miles from me, and then another one goes off in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, which is 220 miles from me? What will be the impact of that in the local community in which you live? What's it going to be? And are you prepared for something like that happening? Because if that happens and the grid goes down and transportation of food goes down, wouldn't it be awful for you to look your children in the eye and say, hey, listen, I'm sorry. I didn't save anything. I didn't have anything. I'm sorry. And sit there and watch this calamity come upon your children. That's what scares me. And from my perspective, I want to get to the other side. If I don't get to the other side, it's okay. It's okay. But if I make it to the other side, if it happens in Pittsburgh and it happens in Cincinnati, I would like to be able to do something here to survive and keep my family functioning so that I can be a help to others on the other side. Are you guys following me? I'm not trying to scare you. I'm not trying to be tinfoil hat. I'm just saying, use some daggone common sense. Just use some common sense. The blizzard comes. Look what happened down in Louisiana. Those people never saw that coming. And so I would say to you, I'm thinking right now, my family, we're going to flee to a high area. And I know where that high area is. And we're going to have supplies there to a high area. We might all die together in an atomic blast. But if we don't all die together in atomic blast, we're going to fight together to survive and make it to the other side and help build what's going on. Got about a minute. Anybody out there really think I'm crazy? How do we get this to our churches? How do we begin to help people in that church understand the need to do this stuff? How do we do it? Because they laugh us off. Tinfoil hat, la da da da. They laugh off Hillary being sick. They laugh off everything. What do we do? Dale, give us a takeaway down there in Louisiana, brother. You got about 2 minutes.
Not paying attention.
You're muted.
He's getting me. There we go. We there?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you know, if you keep preaching truth, first off, your church will stay small, and it's a lot less people you got to deal with. But it's so that with that truth, you know, it, and I say it again, you already said it, it is common sense. You know, if you just take some simple understanding, you don't need anything. family meetings from time and time and explain to my family the importance of family, the importance of this is how it used to be. You know, the difference, David Wilkerson wrote it in his book, The Great and Coming Economic Collapse. The difference between of 1929 and now is back then the family and the neighbors gathered the resources and they made it through. Where now their families are living across the country and nobody even knows who their neighbors are anymore, you know?
And they don't have a cook. They can't hunt. They can't skin a rabbit. Yeah. They can't skin a squirrel. They don't know how to catch a fish. This is basic stuff.
You know, you know, it's a common sense. Give a man a fish, he'll eat for a day. But if you teach a man to fish, he'll eat for life.
Amen.
And I don't laugh at
you're breaking up there, Dale. It's got time to close it out here. Anyway, listen, folks, here's what I'm trying to say to you. I believe we're in dangerous times in the next 2 months. I just believe we are. Kevin said he thinks maybe it's the window's longer than that. I'm telling you, they will not. The powers that be, the men behind the curtain, will not let power slip through their fingers. They're not going to let power slip through their fingers. They're not going to. They're capable of anything. The question I'm asking you is, are you prepared, you and your family, prepared if unbelievably difficult times come upon you in an instant? Are you ready? Keep your lamps trimmed. Keep your oil can filled. That's all we're saying today. Hey, God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for joining us.